So the reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. Zechariah's song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come up to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Actually, there are sheets with the words on if anyone's missing one. Okay.
Thank you, Colin. And now Neil's going to come talk to us. And I'll just say a quick prayer.
Fantastic, thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Neil's heart to bring your word to each one of us this morning. We pray that you give him your wisdom and that you can open our ears and hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. It's great to see you. For those that don't know me, my name is Neil. As Lizette said, I'm curate here. And we're going to look at this song. Last week, we looked at Mary's song in response to all that God was doing with her and the encounter of the angel. And today, we're going to look at Zechariah's response. But this song needs a context. It needs an understanding of what was happening, and we're going to do that. But I want to start with a question. We're in the season of Advent, and in a moment, I'm going to light our two candles that remind us and count us down in our time of waiting, because that's what Advent is about. It's about preparing and waiting for the season of Christmas, when we remember that Jesus was born as a baby, that came into the world, that came as Emmanuel, God, to be with us. And we count down, and it's, you know, we're in times now where Christmas starts just before Halloween. And so when we say we're not even at Christmas yet, people go, oh, we've been there for weeks and months already. But actually, this is Advent, and it's a time of waiting. So as I light these first two candles, my question to us, as we just perhaps use this as a moment to reflect, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What have you been waiting for? Is it something that God has said to you? Is it something that you have been hoping for? Perhaps as I ask that question, you kind of think, oh, I used to have something that I was waiting for, but I've given up on that now. But what is it that we're waiting for? Because as we light these two candles, we remember two particular groups of people who were waiting and who were looking forward to what was to come. Because our first candle is the candle that reminds us of God's people of old, particularly the patriarchs, but all those who were seeking to follow God in the ways that he had said throughout the Old Testament, male and female, as they sought to be loving and worshipping God and following in his ways. And our second candle reminds us of the prophets, those that were listening to God and speaking out all that they heard, some of which was fulfilled in their times, but many of it not fulfilled until we see Jesus come. So as I light these two candles, just again, to have a little time by yourself, what are you waiting for in this season? So as we ponder on that question, perhaps some of your responses and some of the emotion of that question may cause you to come alongside Zechariah and Elizabeth as they have been waiting. As I said, context is everything. And Zechariah's song comes at the end of the beginning at the passage of in Luke 1. And much has happened already before we get to this point. And so, as well as having the sheets for you to look at the particular reading, I would encourage you to go away and to read the beginning of Luke's Gospel again, just to hear and to remember this full story. But Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah is a husband. He's married to Elizabeth. It seems that they are, Luke tells us that that he loved God, that they loved God, but their heart's desire was to have children. And that hadn't happened. But Zechariah was also a priest, which meant that he served in the temple. And once a year, if you didn't know this, once a year, a priest would be selected who would go into, most of the time the priests would operate in the holy place, the main part of the temple, the place where prayer was given daily, where offerings were given to God. As you entered the temple, the sacrifices would be made outside. But as you entered and walked past that place of sacrifice into the holy place, there was a big curtain, a vast curtain that cut off the top end, the furthest end from the entrance, from everybody. And that was called the Holy of Holies. And for the people of God, that was where God lived. That was his place of residence. And for priests, once in their lifetime and once a year, they would be given the opportunity to enter into the Holy of Holies. And this was Zechariah's turn. It was a dangerous task, so dangerous that the priests would have a rope tied to them and a bell placed upon them, because they knew that God was holy. And if they weren't right with God and they encountered God in that moment, they could drop down dead. And the rope and the bell was to symbolize that that had happened, and to so that they knew something had happened inside, and that that priest could be pulled back out again. That was their understanding of encountering God. And so Zechariah was going in. His one moment to go into that Holy of Holies. And in that place, an angel appears. A messenger of God who says, "I stand in God's presence and I bring you words." Words that perhaps Zechariah and Elizabeth had given up on. It says in the Bible that Zechariah and Elizabeth were well on in age. They'd given up, perhaps, of ever seeing their dream and their hope fulfilled. The hope of having children of their own. But in that moment, in that holy of holy place, an angel appears with a message from God, telling Zechariah that God is going to do the thing that they hoped for. But not only is it for them, but this baby that will be born has significance beyond anything that they could imagine. I can't imagine what Zechariah must have felt like. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in that place. Would he have had any expectation? What else had happened to priests who'd come into that place previously? Was he expecting just to walk in, to do the things that they had to do in that place for that time, and then to come back out again? Did he expect to see an angel? I guess not. But we know his response was kind of, "What do I do?" And so he began to question. He began to question those things. He began to try and understand what was going on. And the angel had told him what he needed to hear. and in his questions and in his doubts and in his uncertainty of what was being said, he ended up coming out of that place, being unable to speak. He had to get a board, something to write, to tell the people outside, because obviously they knew something had happened, but he had to get something to be able to write down to tell them what had happened. But again, it was a time of waiting. The baby didn't happen that day, that moment. They still had to wait. That baby was conceived, and that baby was born. And Zechariah, in that tradition, the names were passed down through family, so everyone expected this baby's name to be Zechariah, the father's name. And at that moment, Zechariah speaks out and he says, his name is John. And as he begins to articulate those words, he begins to speak, as he speaks out the fulfillment of what God had said through the angel in that place. And his voice returns, and a son is given to them. And as a response, we get this song. What would our response be? What has been our response when we've seen those things that we've waited for, however big or small they were? What is our response? What is my ongoing response? And in seasons of waiting, I was thinking about different times of waiting. And there's two big things that I can think of where we've had to wait. And there's lots of little things that have taken perhaps a short amount of time, but to me, it's felt forever waiting for them. And children for us as a family was one of those things of waiting. Natalie and I, perhaps have told this story before, but Natalie and I, my wife, part of who we knew God had called us to be was to be people who were about family. Family for ourselves and family as church, that church is family. And so when we got married, we kind of expected that we'd probably have children quite quickly, and that didn't happen. And we were like, well, what do we do? Do we kind of talk to doctors about it and all that kind of stuff? And we just felt we just needed to get on with the things that God had put in front of us, which included a few years down the line being the opportunity to go to New Zealand and to work in New Zealand. And again, it was that kind of timing where if we went to New Zealand, if we wanted to do any medical stuff or anything like that, it would have been a lot more difficult. Whereas if we stayed in this country, we were kind of in a system and we could then begin to look at that. But we just felt God said, go to New Zealand. So we went to New Zealand. And in that time, God did an amazing thing just through his grace and through his provision. He provided us with a couple in the church that we were at that were people who just had this ability to hear God. And one day he said to my wife, he said, God wants to give you the things today and in this place that you've longed for. He wants to give you that thing that you have longed for. And Natalie knew instantly what it was. She burst into tears. It was in a church, and he was praying for her at the front. And he said, God's going to give you the thing that you'd long for. And so the next week, Natalie went back to get some more prayer. And he said, I've been praying for you this week. And God said to me that by this time next year, you'll have a child. I don't recommend that as a prophecy thing. In fact, generally teaching people say don't use time frames in anything at all. But we trusted him, and he knew us well enough that he could share that with us, and that we wouldn't it wouldn't be the end of the world if that didn't happen. But he was sure that that was what he had to do, and to the word, it was exactly true. Within that year, we had our oldest, who was now Matthew. Many of you might have met him at church, and it was just an amazing thing to see that happen. But it took waiting. It took time. It made us question, well, what does this look like? What does family look like for us? What does it look like to be people who are just so passionate? The word family had actually brought Natalie and I together. And the second thing for me in terms of waiting has been around what God's called me to do as well. My process of kind of getting to this point of being kind of clergy within a church kind of started in about 2000 when God spoke a word at a conference. And it wasn't specifically about being a vicar, but it was about church leadership. And so I've been working that through and working that through. And then in 2012, God began to speak about ordination. And so I started the process then. And then even 6 years later, 2018, we're kind of still working that through and what that looks like. And I'm in a season now where I'm here for perhaps another few years. But then it'll be time to move on because my curacy will come to an end. And the question is, what's next? And am I going to see some of those things that God has said fulfilled? What will that look like? Will it be how I expected it to be? But I guess my question in this, and in Zechariah's response to this, and we're going to read it again in a minute, perhaps again as a meditation, as we think about all that God is doing in our lives and all those things that we're waiting for. Zechariah's response wasn't a response of, hey, look at me. Look at what God's done for me. His response in this song is one of praise, of look at what God has done and what he promised long ago. Look how he has fulfilled his promises to God's people. Look how through scripture and through prophecy and those prophets of old who have spoken out, look what he has done. And so we get to this song. It says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in being filled with the Holy Spirit, he sang this song. Whether he actually sang it or whether it was kind of more of a kind of a poemy, rhythmy kind of thing, we're not sure. But it's entitled Zechariah's Song. And sometimes when that happens, people speak out particular passages of scripture, particular passages of the Old Testament. But Zechariah's Song is not any one particular passage from scripture. It's a blending of lots of different phrases and passages throughout the Old Testament that comes together in this great song of praise and thanks for who God is. There's times when God fills us with his presence and we speak out words that we kind of get to the end and we think, where did that come from? I have no idea. I know of one person who was filled with the Holy Spirit in a particular situation, and God gave him the gift to speak in French. He'd never learnt French, but for that situation he needed to, and he just spoke out what God had said to him, and the person he spoke to said, do you know you've just spoke fluent French, and I understood absolutely everything that you've just said to me. So that sometimes happens, but more often than not, God uses us to speak out the stuff that we already know in our hearts and minds. And I think for Zechariah, someone who had studied scripture, someone who had spent time reading and knowing, he couldn't have been a priest in that place without knowing scripture. And God is using that to speak out all that he has done. So let's read again. As we hold those things that we hope for, those things that we wait for, perhaps those things that we've given up waiting for, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like. For some of us, it may be that we've just not seen it because we've been looking for something different, the answer to those things. But as we hold those things, and if for you today that's something that you'd just like someone to pray with you for, that actually as you think about the things that you're waiting for, that it brings a sadness and it brings a heaviness, then do get someone, do come to the front or get someone to pray with you. That this is Zechariah's song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of my people. Because he has come to his people. He hasn't abandoned them. He hasn't left them. For the people of God at this time, there had been 300 years of silence. But he declares that God has come to his people and redeemed them. He's bought them back. He has raised up a horn of salvation, the horn, a symbol of power. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as was said through his holy prophets long ago. This is not new. This is not something that's totally out of nowhere. It's something that has been talked about over and over. Salvation from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the promises he made long ago, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, that God's people would be blessed and would be a blessing, that they would number the stars in the sky. Those promises of old that he is bringing to fulfillment. And in Jesus, we get to be part of those promises too. Those promises to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness, in set-apartness for God, and in righteousness, in right relationship with God. And you, my child, this child, John, will be called as a prophet of the Most High. He will go before the Lord to prepare the way. That this child has a special task, a particular task that each one of us has been given, that we've been placed on this earth for. For John, it was to prepare the way for Jesus. For each one of us, there is a specific task. And as he prepared the way, he would declare that salvation is coming close, that forgiveness of sins is possible because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he will guide all people into the path of peace. Let's just take a moment as we pray. What are the promises that God has spoken to you? What is he longing to fulfill in you today? Where is God wanting to speak into those things that for which you still hope and dream for? So Holy Spirit, come and speak to each one of us. Remind us afresh of those things that you've spoken. Father, I pray that in this Advent season, you would speak again to each one of us about those things that we still long for and hope for. Because we ask it in Jesus' name.